My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
You are in the loop. We're starting now.
We're starting now, baby.
He is the OG John Lopez. I'm Patrick Creighton. And Figgy Fig, the doctor of Figonomics, on the other side of the glass.
All right, we're back to this.
We're still doing that?
Sean, hold on for a second.
Back to this.
I do this on purpose. Like, the first time I did it on Monday, they had they had no idea what that referenced.
Yeah. Oh, I kind of did.
John kind of figured it out with John Cena.
Yeah.
But Fig was like, yeah, I no idea. So since he didn't know what it was, I'm going to keep doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
that's what you do.
Yeah. I'm just going to keep doing it.
I don't think that's going to hit.
It isn't going to stick. All right. That's cool, though.
Wait till we come up with other things. I'll keep coming up with other ones and see how many more of them can I come up with that are awkward and cause him to be like, I don't know if I like that.
How many more Figgy hate? Yeah.
And it's not done of hate. I love Fig.
Who does?
But you know
who
what?
Doesn't?
Saying Figgy hates them, though, the nickname.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I know you love. We all love Figgy.
I mean, now, look, I kind of grew up different, right? Mm-hmm. You know, in Brooklyn, you never called your friends by their name.
No.
You called them, you know, a hole, S head, D-bag.
Yeah.
Like, if you called your friend by their actual name, they knew that you were mad at them. Like, okay, what did I do?
Yeah.
Like, that's just how it was. When I moved down here, people are nice down here. They don't act like that. And when you walk up to somebody, you know, and you're like, hey, what's up, A-hat? And they're like, why am I an A-hat?
Yeah.
like, what did I do? Like, why are you mad at me?
Let me introduce you to my people, the Hispanics, who have the greatest philosophy and approach on nicknames in the history of nicknames. They find the most embarrassing physical trait in about you. And they call that, with love, your nickname. Like, I had cousins whose nickname was Gordo. Like, in other words, like, if I called, he's not, but if I called Sean, hey, Fatso, hey, Fatty. And I had another cousin. Hispanics are awesome at this. Like, they somehow find a physical trait that, like, a big nose, they start calling you, you know, something about that. I had a cousin who had like a birth defect and her arm was kind of twisted, and my aunt called her Chueca, in other words, crooked. Hey, crooked. Like Hispanic people are unrelenting.
So there is a Mod Pizza not far from here that I used to go to fairly often, and there was this, you know, very nice, sweet Hispanic woman who worked behind the counter, didn't speak a whole lot of English. Mm-hmm. Every time she saw me, she'd smile and she'd look at me and she'd want to come and help me, and she'd always ask me my name, and I'd always say Patrick, and she would write Pacho.
Yeah.
P-A-C-H-O. And I'm like, what the hell is Pacho?
Mm-hmm.
I went and looked it up. means chubby.
Yeah.
She was telling me I'm a fat ass. Yeah.
Mod Pizza.
Hispanic people are brutal with
nicknames.
So
the question is, what was your nickname then?
When I was little, they called me Gordito. Little chubby.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You rolled with it.
Yeah. My mom called my dad Panzon, like big belly. It's not now, so don't use it trying to get into my email. My dad, my entire life, never called her honey, baby, or, you know, Idolina, her name. He called her cosa, thing.
My father-in-law calls my mother-in-law woman.
Yeah.
All the time. Yeah, calls her woman.
So what are you doing, woman?
Addresses her Christmas cards to her, woman.
If
on
white
the
people,
envelope.
If a white guy called his wife thing.
Maybe they like the Fantastic Four and she's built like Thing.
There's Marvel implications.
Like 713-572-4610. I want to hear from all my Hispanic brothers.
Now Sean got to go home and call Amy Thing.
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 Oh, or, you know what else he called
her? Or woman.
Her?
What's
up,
can
Thing?
Be like, you know, just get like the Kevin Sullivan wig.
Do this one. Yeah. Again, not accurate, but just do this. Yeah, so it goes over. My other term of endearment my dad called my mom was double.
Which is?
Double.
Just double?
Doble.
Doble?
He called her doble, like double, because she's twice the size she should be.
Oh my goodness.
Y'all are ruthless.
Ruthless.
Okay.
7135. So tell me I'm wrong. I know I'm not.
Okay.
Like every Hispanic person has the...
Now we need nicknames for everybody on the 610 staff, generated by you and your family.
By Hispanics.
By Hispanics, yes.
That sounds like a homework assignment to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is there like a mega Gordo?
From what I can tell, you just call everybody a different version of fat, and that's their nickname.
If someone is slow, they call them mental.
Yeah.
Like, idiot.
Oh, wow.
And they love them.
That's amazing.
It's amazing.
Oh, my God.
Talk to your Hispanic friend.
I need to become Hispanic. All right, Gordita. Have a good show.
Yeah, okay. I'm good.
See you, fat ass.
Wait a minute. Are you talking to him or me?
All right, Pelon. See you later, Pelon. You know what that means.
Man, it is crazy how you talk about the whole idea of, these are our terms of endearment.
Yeah.
Let me stab you in the front instead of in the back.
At least they're honest. Yeah. I mean, look at all the Hispanic people texting in right now.
Yeah, I didn't want to say any of those words because I'm not sure
what
they all mean.
I can.
No, I mean, I don't know which one of them are inappropriate for the FCC.
Over the line.
Which one of them are swear words? Like, I don't know all swear words.
Yeah.
You know, I know that, you know, once upon a time dating Latina, if she was angry or yelling things and the words started with P, I should get out of the room.
Yeah.
But I don't know all the bad words that may or may not come across.
Yeah.
I mean, I did recognize one of them as a word I definitely can't say on the radio.
Yes. It's a phenomenon that has always fascinated me. And the text board is co-signing upon co-signing upon co-signing. It's crazy.
How many horrible things can I tell you and say, but I say it with love?
Yeah, they don't even have to explain it. They just say it. Like whatever physical feature you're most embarrassed about, that's going to be your nickname.
So basically the entire culture is based off the relationship between Peg and Al Bundy.
Yeah, exactly.
How many ways can I insult you but smile?
Yeah, they should have been Hispanic.
Man, it's Friday. We always have fun on Friday. We get a little rowdy on Friday. And things to get rowdy about tonight. How about you, Houston Astros, heading to Flushing Bay to take on the New York Mets? Two teams that are charging up the standings. You know, or, you know, you could say Flushing Bay, you could say the site of the 1964 World's Fair where we know they're hiding two flying saucers. But the Astros and the Mets, both teams have won 8 of their last 10, and their numbers over their last 10 games are actually pretty similar, right? Mets are hitting .319, Astros hitting .294. Mets team ERA is .358, Astros team ERA .354. Astros have outscored their opponents by 21 runs. Mets have actually outscored their opponents by 38 runs. Well, partly because, you know, the Yankees have sucked lately.
Yeah.
But both of these teams have been hot lately. Astros are 15-7 in June. Mets are 15-6 in June.
Yeah.
It's like the unstoppable force of the immovable object. But this to me is a very fun series, a little bit painful series, because I'm rooting against the team I grew up rooting for.
Yeah.
And there are conflicts.
It happens.
But Also, the fact that you've got two teams that are really hot, two teams that are trying to get back into the race. You know, the Astros were 12-24, mm-hmm. 12 games under on May 8th. That was their low water mark. The Mets' low water mark was 26 days ago. They were 24-35.
Yeah.
And, like, these are two hot teams, both trying to, you know, change the narrative on them from disappointing to playoff contender. The next 10 days probably mean a lot for both teams, but how are you feeling about going into this series? You know, I asked you on Monday, you know, are you ready to buy back in? And I think you were like, okay, I'll put like $2 in.
Yeah.
Where are you now as to how far are you willing to go back in, and what do they have to do in this series against the Mets to earn your trust, to get you to put more chips to the table?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Yeah, I'm gonna press pause on the second part of that. Because the first part was kind of a revelation I had, you know, yesterday, this morning, as I'm kind of piecing together where the Astros are right now. They're 40-40, man. Tonight is the midway point of the season. And so this is where I am, to answer your question. Why not? Why not just... I still have my questions. We've talked about them ad nauseum. I mean, I still wonder what they can and cannot get done. You know, the pieces they still have, who's on first, literally, all that stuff. I said my question. But I think I've reached the point, Patrick, where I'm like, why not? And the reason is very, very simple. I know they're not going to have very many more chances. So just throw your hat in the ring now. I said they're done, a month into the season. I still wonder if they are or not, but they're in the race now. I mean, it's undeniable. Why not go for it? And there's a number of reasons for that. The main reason is what I just said. Like, I don't know how many more chances they're going to have. And if you're going to say, well, they need to be sellers so they can start building for the future and make sure that this thing doesn't go 3 straight 100 loss seasons and their system is depleted and all that. I started thinking about that. I said, you know what? We're never going to have another run like this. I mean, will anyone ever have another run like this? Like 7 straight, you know, and in contention again. So I'm at the point now where I'm like, just go ahead. Go ahead. We'll worry about tomorrow, you know?
The things that you feel good about. Yeah. You feel good about maybe their top 3 pitchers, right? Fromber. You feel good about Ronnell. You feel good about Hunter Brown right now. Arrighetti's been inconsistent, but I think you expect that from a guy who wasn't even supposed to be here until at least August. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to get kind of like what Hunter Brown had 2 years ago. You get a pitch, yeah, you know, 4 or 5 months in AAA, mm-hmm, get yourself refined, build your confidence, and then we're going to call you up towards the end of the year. But the massive amount of injuries obviously changed that. I think you feel better about the back of the bullpen than you did a month ago.
Yeah.
I think you feel better about the lineup as a whole than you did a month ago. Yiner has started to hit. Not only has Yiner started to hit, he's hitting with guys on base. Mm-hmm. He's hitting 2 outs, runners in scoring position. Jake Myers is, after a slump, has kind of started to find the bat again. Dubon has been fairly consistent. Like, I know people love Dubon, and I love the fact that he's as versatile as he is, and you can literally plug him in anywhere.
Yeah.
He's not like a big-time hitter. He hits for a good average. Mm-hmm. He doesn't hit for a lot of power. He doesn't draw any walks. But he gets some hits. What I love about Dubon the most is he's the kind of guy I think you need in a lineup because he's a high IQ baseball player. Mm-hmm. He makes productive outs. He hits behind the runner. You know, he knows how to advance runners as opposed, yeah, to swinging from his heels, yeah, and striking out. He doesn't whiff.
Yeah.
His strikeout rate's like 8%. He, yeah, doesn't whiff. Mm-hmm. And you need to have guys like that. Not everybody in your lineup's a 30 home run hitter. But can you have a guy who hits 275, 280 and can lay down a bunt?
No.
Can hit behind the runner. Situational hitter. You can hit and run with him. He's a high contact guy. Mm-hmm. He can run the bases. Well, these are things that you need to have that kind of different look in, yes, your lineup. So I like they have him there. I love they finally have taken the shackles, mm-hmm, off of Joe Espada,
yeah,
and are allowing him to play Joey Lopofito.
Yeah.
It's one of the things that's amazing to me is, mm-hmm, you know, a month ago when Joe Espada was basically being told by the upstairs, and I don't mean Dana Brown, I,
yeah,
mean by the upstairs,
yeah,
you're going to play Jose Abreu, and you're going to do this, and you're going to do that, and the team, it literally took till this team was on the verge of implosion before they finally made moves they needed to make and kind of took the gloves off of Espada, and now nobody's complaining Joe Espada can't manage.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how that happens. And we've seen this team. Can you remember the last time you saw the Astros over a consistent period, mm-hmm, play effective small ball?
Oh. Effective small ball?
You'd have to go back to 90s?
As I say, like Drake McLean owns the team at this point.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're in the,
yeah,
National League at this point.
Yes, yes.
It is like just crazy because it's something that I've had ever since they instituted the ghost runner.
Mm-hmm.
They've been terrible,
yeah,
at getting the ghost runner home.
Mm-hmm.
And runner on second, 2 outs, that's an automatic run.
Should be.
Ground ball to second, advance to third. Ground ball to second, run score. I mean, that is the easiest run you're ever going to score.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times they don't score him. And now we're seeing them hit and run, hit behind the runners, advance runners, sack fly, yeah, sack, you know, like they're doing the things to manufacture runs that I haven't seen them do in the now 12 seasons,
yeah,
that I have covered the Astros.
Well, some of that is out of necessity because of the players they have, right? Because they don't have the big boppers. They don't have the big core players of yesteryear. I say yesteryear like it was 30 years ago, but yeah, part of that is necessity. And it also speaks to why I said, bleep it, you know, let them go for it. Like, they are in a position where if they can scratch out some wins via small ball, as you said, if they scratch out some wins with some big crooked number games, you know, either way, they're in the hunt. And the fact that it's the Astros in the rearview mirror of the Mariners and in the wild card race, I think matters as well. I think the fact that they have been here, they have done it, they've got the core group, that nothing is going to make them, you know, quiver. I think all that stuff is leading to, you know what, just go for it. Do what you want to do.
I want to see the Astros break out like the old mm-hmm. red jerseys.
From the early 2000s?
Because, like, I feel like there's almost a symmetry here mm-hmm. with Tiger Woods and the Tiger Charge the Sunday on red. Sunday, yeah. the Sunday red, and the idea of, here's Tiger Woods, red shirt, getting ready to charge up the standings
it is
put
a
the
real
fear
thing.
Of God in everybody.
No, it is a very real thing, and it's one of the reasons I feel like, you know, to go ahead and do it. Like, outside of Springer and Correa, like, they still have the guys that have been here throughout, and some came in a little later, but still, it's still Altuve, it's still Bregman, it's still Tucker has been around for a while now, Yordan for a little while now, Fromber, Verlander, for what it's worth, you know, if Verlander can ever get back on the... So when teams see the Astros in their rearview mirror, we know and they know that's probably not the same Astros team, but with those dudes leading the way, you still got to worry.
I think it was important that they got that they played so well against the Orioles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, during this, you know, golden era of Astros baseball, as TK called it, right, the golden age, one thing we've seen them do is when they had to face a high-end opponent, they would always rise to the occasion.
Yes.
This team has, and no matter, they're going to play this team, this is going to be a really tough thing. Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
And then they get up and they just, like, they hulk up.
They drill them,
and they kick their ass.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought after they managed to survive that first game where they got up huge mm-hmm. and then the underbelly of the bullpen just all over their pants, they managed to hold on to that. I thought that was really important because, you know, in April, in mid-May, that's a game they lost.
Yes.
And they held on to that game, and then the next 2 days, they stomped them. And these are things, you saw them against the Rockies, or the Potheads, as we call them, mm-hmm. That, you know, the Astros were looking so much like the Astros. You said this team finally looked like the team that you knew.
Yeah.
The other team makes mistakes, the Astros make them pay.
Yeah.
And that is exactly what happened. That every time Colorado made a mistake, the Astros put a number on the board. And that is like a hallmark of this team. We're getting to a point, though, in the season, is like we're getting close to the All-Star break. From the All-Star break to the trade deadline, mm-hmm. that's kind of the gauntlet run of you're making all your deals. You're wheeling a deal and you're talking to everybody. This 10-game road trip, is this 10-game road trip essentially 10 games to rule them all?
Mm-hmm.
Next.
Biggie, let's hit him big time.
Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader.
You know what I'm bringing today. You know what I'm bringing today. Let's go.
Go to work.
Let's go.
Hey, Sam.
Sports Radio 16.
He's John Lopez. I'm Patrick Creighton. You're in the loop on a Friday. John, 10 games to rule them all.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you get the reference.
I do get the reference.
If I said that to Sean Bajani, he would look at me like, what are you talking about?
What was that last night?
So, Bajani apparently lives in a really dark cave. He's never seen a Star Wars. He's never seen a Star Trek. He's never seen a Lord of the Rings. He's never seen The Matrix. Like, he's literally never seen anything unless it's like a true crime documentary.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he, like, Law and Order, I think, is about as far into like pop culture as he goes. He knows the dun dun.
Yeah.
But yesterday, he didn't know Thundercats. He didn't know who Mumra was. And then we learned he didn't know who SpongeBob was.
Well, now that one's inexcusable.
He's never seen The Fairly Odd Parents.
Mm-hmm. Also inexcusable.
We went through this litany of just cartoons.
Yeah.
And the blank stare mm-hmm. of, dude, how? Like, he didn't know what the Hanna-Barbera Wacky Races were.
Yeah.
He didn't know who Top Cat were. He didn't know who Courageous Cat and Minute Mouse were. He didn't know who Danger Mouse was. He didn't know who Adam Ant was. He didn't know who Huckleberry Hound was. I'm just like, do you know who Yogi Bear is? I
mean, yeah.
It was just like, he's like, yeah, I didn't know.
Hey. Now, as far as the movies you're talking about, I can almost give him a pass on that. I fall in this category, although I've seen the ones you mentioned. I'm not a big sci-fi guy. I've seen Star Trek. I've seen Matrix. But the other ones,
you've seen like the popular ones.
Yeah,
like, it's okay if you didn't see Event Horizon.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is good horror type movie.
Yeah, the cartoons, it falls into two categories. The cartoons you watched when you were a kid and the cartoons your kids watched. There's always a gaping hole in the middle when it wasn't when you were watching them. And your kids were already older, past them.
Yeah.
So I like the kind of the 2000s, early 2000s, and late 90s. I couldn't tell you a lot of cartoons that came out then. Although obviously some of them were hanging around, like SpongeBob and all that stuff.
John, he didn't know Voltron.
That's the thing. See, I could tell you I knew that, but I wasn't like my kids watched it or I watched it.
But you know who Voltron
is.
Yes,
exactly.
I mean, if you watch Deadpool, you know who Voltron is. It's five little lions. They come out and make one big giant lion. Like,
yeah.
Come on, you got to know this. And just as Voltron, I said, what? Yeah. It was crazy. I'm like, it is very,
what
very.
What the hell do we watch?
I know. Well.
Because I know before I think he'd never seen The Sopranos.
No, he's never seen The Sopranos.
Sent it to him.
Yeah, one of our listeners actually sent him on DVD the full box set of The Sopranos.
And he watched one episode?
He's watched one episode.
Come on, common courtesy.
That's insane, man.
Common courtesy.
Yeah. At least do it for the listener.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Common courtesy, yeah. But he's an interesting guy, though, because he's kind of an old soul. He's an old soul. He fixes stuff himself.
Yes.
Which a lot of people his age don't do. He's got this side gig, building fences and stuff, which a lot of people in his age group wouldn't do. He likes the old crime movies, like all our dads watched, whatever, NYPD or something.
He's a true crime documentary type guy.
He's an old soul. There's nothing wrong with that, but kind of inexcusable you don't know some of those cartoons.
Gotta know.
You got a kid. What did your kid watch?
His kid watches Cars.
Cars, the movie?
Yeah, I can tell you, very legit, right? He says his son just watches it on loop. My son watched it on loop.
No, it's ridiculous.
That's a two-hour movie.
Yeah.
2 hours and 3 minutes to be exact.
Yeah.
Because I had the DVDs. I still have the DVDs.
Yeah.
And 203, and then, it comes up with, play.
Yeah.
Specials. And my son knew, hit the button that said play, and it starts over.
Yeah.
And he would watch it all day long. In fact, we had, not only did we have all the actual figurine cars, but we had the whole town layout, and he lived the movie while he watched it.
Yeah.
I said to him, he's like, we got to get off Cars. I said, all right, so have you
watched?
We all had that movie, though, man.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
I said, have you watched The Lion King?
Oh,
yes.
A million times.
They haven't done The Lion King.
Yeah.
Mm. Sean's never seen
The Lion King. Yeah, he got to get him on that.
Yeah,
I was like, how have you never seen The Lion King?
That's like my first movie. That was the first movie I went to see in the movie theater. The Lion King? That was the first one.
First time going
to a movie theater.
Yeah. Now that I have a granddaughter that's one and a half, she can watch Encanto 10 hours straight.
Because they just sing the whole time.
It's like crack. That's the way Cars is, too. Cars, Encanto... It's got a drug in it. I'm convinced. Like, she could sit there and watch. She's one and a half.
What's the most popular? I'm blanking on the name, but the Disney movie, the Let It Go,
Frozen.
Oh yeah, Frozen. That's
that one. Yeah, that one got more than crack in it.
my daughter was big on Tangled.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
Tangled is their Rapunzel story.
Okay, okay.
It's funny, and there's a lot of adult humor in it. But like, so she was little, and one of the parts in the movie is where, the guy gets on the stolen horse, and he goes, let's go, Fleabag, forward, and he kicks him, and the horse throws him off. So she would jump on my back, yell, forward, Fleabag, and I'd throw her off, and then she'd do it again. And this is things that you do.
Talk to anyone five and under, and just say one sentence, and they will smile. We don't talk about Bruno.
Yep.
Just say we don't talk about Bruno.
Hey, I wasn't familiar.
Encanto.
I haven't seen Encanto yet.
We don't talk about Bruno.
Yeah, we don't. Just say we don't talk about Bruno, and they will laugh.
I'll have to watch that. Yeah. I have the whole Disney Plus thing with every movie in it. So it'll probably, it'll wind up being something that gets watched this weekend when I'm home with my daughter.
Yeah, there you go. So, yeah.
All right, so 10 games to rule them all. The Astros go on a 10-game road trip. 3 in Flushing against the New York Mets. Then they go to Toronto for 4 with the White Walkers.
before heading to Minnesota for three with the Twinkies. This takes us to their next off day, which is July 8th. From that point on, there are six games before the All-Star break.
Yes.
Is this 10-game stretch essentially the make or break to you for the Astros this season, where if they have a strong stretch here, you're 100% in, we're buying, let's go.
Yeah.
If they get mollywopped here, punt and start over.
Monday, I would have said absolutely. Today, I don't know if it matters as much. And let me explain that. I think they're close enough already. If they just sort of even play 500 ball the next 10 games, nothing's really going to change in their mindset. You know, and I'm the one that just 5 days ago on Monday, I said, we're in the midst of the biggest, you remember it, the biggest 21-game stretch of the year.
Yeah.
Because I thought that 21 games from when it started, you know, before last weekend until it ends here, you know, before the All-Star break, that you would have to decide buyer, seller, we've got to make some decisions, we've got to have a come-to-Jesus meeting and figure it out. Patrick, I think right now they're at the point where, like, we're in. We're in. I mean, unless they go 0-10, you know, that's
so like, if they go 3-7, yeah, are you like, well,
maybe
they, now they've kind of, yeah, because that's kind of been their story all year, right? Yeah. They start to play well, mm-hmm, pitching injury, give it all back.
Yeah.
Start to play well, pitching injury, give it all back. Yeah. Start to play well, Blanco gets suspended, give it all back. This cycle has just not stopped. But finally, this time,
yeah,
they started to play well. Verlander got hurt, got put on the IL. They didn't give it back. They kept moving forward. They progressed through it to the point where they finally broke through that 500 mark. Mm-hmm. Then they got to 500 where they are now. Can they now push through where if they go 7-3 on this road trip,
mm-hmm,
like,
I mean, it's a no-brainer.
We're like, yeah, let's go. Like RKO out of nowhere. We're all in.
Yeah.
And if, you know, if they go 3-7, like, all right, maybe
we would
maybe
talk
we
about
got
it.
Issues.
We would talk about it, and I frankly I would probably want them to go ahead and sell, but I think they've made up their minds. I really do. Now again, they recognize all their issues more than we do, but I think they're like I said, bleep it, let's go. You know, now if 3-7 would be a little problematic, but I don't think it's going to change their mind.
Is there a, like, because like, I heard, what was it, Ron and Clint talking about, would you sign up for 6-4, hit the button right now, 6-4 road trip?
Sign me up.
I don't want to sign up for that.
No, sign me up.
I'm greedy. I want more.
Well, sure. But I think 6-4, two games over 500, in the hunt. There's only one team ahead of them in the wild card, and it doesn't look like any others are going to pass them. You know, it's just the Red Sox right now. I think that with three games ahead of them, something like that.
Yeah, the Red Sox, they were the team that was actually in the third,
but I think it
wild
changed
card spot.
I think it
because
changed.
They overtook.
Yeah.
Who did they overtake? They overtook. No, the Royals actually have now overtaken
that's
the Red Sox.
That's what I'm thinking happened. Yeah.
So yeah, it's just the Red Sox between the Astros and the Royals. The Red Sox and the Royals, they keep flipping back.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, that's a factor too. Like, we've been saying weakest division, which it is. Mariners are going to be looking in their rearview mirror, which they will. There's not a lot of other teams in this division that can contend them, which there's not. We've been looking at division. I think the wild card comes into play, and I think a 6-4 record, they're in.
No, I mean, I said probably about a week and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
They need to not worry about, you don't have to stay solely focused on the division. The number one goal was get back to 500.
Yeah,
your secondary goal is, as you're getting back to 500, you're going to work your way up the wild card. At the time, there were like six teams in front of the Astros in the wild card race. But you look at those teams, like all of these teams, none of them are that good.
That's what
I'm
saying.
They've all got problems, yeah, and there is nothing that says any of those teams suddenly hit a skid and the Astros fly right by them. And yeah, that's what's happened over the last week and a half. The Astros have flown by practically everybody.
Yeah.
And if you take care of those things, you will get back in the division race almost by default. Like, yeah, it happens on its own. So yeah, 4.5 out in the division, 3.5 out in the wild card. 6-4 is not a bad road trip. I'd really like 7.
Well, we're all going to get greedy, but I think that's going to be a no brainer if that happens. And then, and I can't emphasize this enough, in this division, in this wild card, the name on the front of the jersey is going to be a factor. The fact that it's the Astros. And everybody knows what the Astros have done. It's not the same Astros team.
Doesn't matter.
But there's enough pieces there
Is it PTSD?
Altuve and Bregman. Yes. Yep. That's. I mean, look, we've seen people chant cheater at Yordan. He wasn't even on the team.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, hell, he was. I don't even think Yordan was even signed yet. It's 2017. I don't think they signed him yet.
And they still scared of Yordan a little bit.
Oh,
so
hell yeah.
He strikes some fear.
Yeah, and I love the fact that when the Astros asked for Yordan Alvarez, the Dodgers thought they were talking about a different guy named Yordan Alvarez who was a pitcher. They had no idea who the Astros were actually talking about. I love that part of the story. Yeah. Coming up next, time to localize it here on In the Loop.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It.
Don't you know I'm local?
You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 610.
John, let's. I'm going to ask you something because this is, you know, we've seen some things go here with the Jaguars recently. They paid a lot of money for Trevor Lawrence, who I don't even think is a top 10 quarterback.
Yeah.
They are now getting a ton of billionaire welfare to. Well, new stadium.
$1.4 billion.
Man, I tell you what.
Yeah.
If y'all could just write like 100 G's of that to like my Cash App, I'd be really appreciative.
Yeah.
As long as you're all throwing money away. Just throw it my way. We're good. But look, they had a massive collapse. They finished the season 1-5. The one game they won, Trevor Lawrence didn't play.
Yeah.
And Shad Khan, the owner of the Jaguars, he addressed that. This week with these comments. You fail as an organization. I look at it as an organizational failure. When we talk to the players, Trevor, Josh, all these players I talk to, it's like, how could this happen? And he says, not to be able to win two of the last six games still sings. Even though the season's over, it's still like, I can't believe we couldn't do it. Would you want your owner to talk like that, especially following the press conference where the mayor is saying, here's a bill and a half.
Yeah.
And you come out and the first thing you're saying is, like, basically, last year was just a total organizational failure all the way around. Would you be cool if something like that happened with the Texans? And here's Kyle McNair saying, just everything. We totally failed.
First of all, it would be Hannah saying it.
Right.
And secondly, all day, every day. I want that. I get confused when people say, you know, they kind of gasp and did you hear what the owner said? Dude, that's what we want. We are in the business of hoping that we get a little transparency from people. Not this hiding in the shadows, sometimes literally. You know, you don't see owners for months, Jim Crane. You don't see owners being responsible when the entire organization is collapsing. Cal McNair, Deshaun Watson era.
Cal McNair, where the hell are you?
Exactly.
What you hiding for?
It's one of the buttons that when people push it on me, I'm on the brink of going, what are you talking about? Are you crazy? You want transparency. But people, when people say things like Shad Khan said, they're like, nah, man, we're saying it. The owner saying it is more meaningful. That means that he's putting people accountable. He's making people accountable. That means that the pressure is on from above. That's a good thing. Now, I don't know how you feel about this, but this is one on me where I'm like, it boggles the mind when we want our athletes, our general managers and coaches and owners to tell us what's really going on. And then when they do, we get insulted or appalled. No, man, this is what we want.
So number one,
yeah,
I am 100% on board. The Queen of Houston, Hannah McNair, does all the talk.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2 foot tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Monday, I would have said absolutely. Today, I don't know if it matters as much. And let me explain that. I think they're close enough already. If they just sort of even play 500 ball the next 10 games, nothing's really going to change in their mindset. You know, and I'm the one that just 5 days ago on Monday, I said, we're in the midst of the biggest, you remember it, the biggest 21-game stretch of the year.
Yeah.
Because I thought that 21 games from when it started, you know, before last weekend until it ends here, you know, before the All-Star break, that you would have to decide buyer, seller, we've got to make some decisions, we've got to have a come to Jesus meeting and figure it out. Patrick, I think right now they're at the point where like, we're in. I mean, unless they go 0-10, you know, that's
so kinda, like if they go 3-7, yeah, are you like, well, all right,
maybe
now they've kind of, because that's kind of been their story all year, right? Yeah. They start to play well, pitching injury, give it all back.
Yeah.
Start to play well, pitching injury, give it all back. Yeah. Start to play well, Blanco gets suspended, give it all back. This cycle has just not stopped. But finally, this time, they started to play well. Verlander got hurt, got put on the IL. They didn't give it back. They kept moving forward. They progressed through it to the point where they finally broke through that 500 mark. Mm-hmm. Then they got to 500 where they are now. Can they now push through where if they go 7-3 on this road trip, like,
I mean, it's a no-brainer.
We're like, yeah, let's go. Like, RKO out of nowhere. We're all in.
Yeah.
And if, you know, if they go 3-7, like, all right, maybe.
We would maybe talk we about issues. It. We would talk about it. And I frankly, I would probably want them to go ahead and sell. But I think they've made up their minds. I really do. Now, again, they recognize all their issues more than we do. But I think they're like I said, bleep it. Let's go. You know, now, if 3-7 would be a little problematic. But I don't think it's going to change their mind.
Is there a, like, because like, I heard, what was it, Ron and Clint talking about, would you sign up for 6-4, hit the button right now, 6-4 road trip?
Sign me up.
I don't want to sign up for that.
No, sign me up.
I'm greedy. I want more.
Well, sure. But I think 6-4, two games over 500, in the hunt,
There's only one team ahead of them in the wild card, and it doesn't look like any others are going to pass them. You know, it's just the Red Sox right now. I think that with three games ahead of them, something like that.
Yeah, the Red Sox, they were the team that was actually in the third,
but I think it
wild
changed.
Card spot.
I think it
because
changed.
They overtook.
Yeah.
Who did they overtake? They overtook. No, the Royals actually have now overtaken
That's
the Red Sox.
That's what I'm thinking happened. Yeah.
So yeah, it's just the Red Sox between the Astros and the Royals. The Red Sox and the Royals, they keep flipping back.
Yeah. So all of a sudden, that's a factor too. Like we've been saying weakest division, which it is. Mariners are going to be looking in their rearview mirror, which they will. There's not a lot of other teams in this division that can contend them, which there's not. We've been looking at division. I think the wild card comes into play, and I think a 6-4 record, they're in.
No, I mean, like I said, probably a little about a week and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
They need to not worry about. You don't have to stay solely focused on the division. The number one goal was get back to 500.
Yeah.
Your secondary goal is, as you're getting back to 500, you're going to work your way up the wild card. At the time, there were like six teams in front of the Astros in the wild card race. But you look at those teams, like all of these teams, none of them are that good.
That's what
They've all got problems, yeah. And there is nothing that says any of those teams suddenly hit a skid and the Astros fly right by them. And yeah. That's what's happened over the last week and a half. The Astros have flown by practically everybody.
Yeah.
And if you take care of those things, you will get back in the division race almost by default. Like yeah. It happens on its own. So, yeah, 4.5 out in the division, 3.5 out in the wild card. 6-4 is not a bad road trip. I'd really like 7.
Well, we're all going to get greedy, but I think that's going to be a no-brainer if that happens. And then, and I can't emphasize this enough, in this division, in this wild card, the name on the front of the jersey is going to be a factor. The fact that it's the Astros. And everybody knows what the Astros have done. It's not the same Astros team.
Doesn't matter.
But there's enough pieces there.
Is it PTSD?
Yeah.
Altuve and Bregman? Yes. Yep. Look, we've seen people chant Cheater at Yordan. He wasn't even on the team.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, hell, he was, I don't even think Yordan was even signed yet. It's 2017. I don't think they signed him yet.
And they still scared of Yordan a little bit.
Oh,
so
hell yeah.
He strikes some fear.
Yeah, and I love the fact that when the Astros asked for Yordan Alvarez, the Dodgers thought they were talking about a different guy named Yordan Alvarez who was a pitcher. They had no idea who the Astros were actually talking about. I love that part of this story. Coming up next, time to localize it here on In the Loop.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It.
Don't you know I'm local?
You're In the Loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 610.
John, I'm going to ask you something because this is, you know, we've seen some things go here with the Jaguars recently. They paid a lot of money for Trevor Lawrence, who I don't even think is a top 10 quarterback.
Yeah.
They are now getting a ton of billionaire welfare to... Well, new stadium.
$1.4 billion.
Man, I tell you what.
Yeah.
If y'all could just write like 100 G's of that to like my Cash App, I'd be really appreciative.
Yeah.
As long as you're all throwing money away. Just throw it my way. We're good. But look, they had a massive collapse. They finished the season 1-5. The one game they won, Trevor Lawrence didn't play.
Yeah.
And Shad Khan, the owner of the Jaguars, he addressed that. This week with these comments. You fail as an organization. I look at it as an organizational failure. When we talk to the players, Trevor, Josh, all these players I talk to, it's like, how could this happen? And he says, not to be able to win two of the last six games still sings. Even though the season's over, it's still like, I can't believe we couldn't do it. Would you want your owner to talk like that, especially following the press conference where the mayor is saying, here's $1.5 billion.
Yeah.
And you come out and the first thing you're saying is, like, basically, last year was just a total organizational failure all the way around. Would you be cool if something like that happened with the Texans and here's Kyle McNair saying, just everything, we totally failed?
First of all, it would be Hannah saying it.
You're right.
And secondly, all day, every day. I want that. I get confused when people say, you know, they kind of gasp and did you hear what the owner said? Dude, that's what we want. We are in the business of hoping that we get a little transparency from people. Not this hiding in the shadows, sometimes literally. You know, you see, you don't see owners for months, Jim Crane. You don't see, you know, you don't see owners being being responsible when the entire organization is collapsing. Cal McNair, Deshaun Watson era.
Cal McNair, where the hell are you?
Exactly.
What you hiding for?
It's one of the buttons that when people push it on me, I kind of, I'm on the brink of going, what are you talking about? Are you crazy? You want transparency. But people, when people say things like Shad Khan said, they're like, nah, man, we're saying it. The owner saying it is more meaningful. That means that he's putting people accountable. He's making people accountable. That means that the pressure is on from above. That's a good thing. Now, I don't know how you feel about this, but this is one on me where I'm like, it boggles the mind when we want our athletes, our general managers and coaches and owners to tell us what's really going on. And then when they do, we get insulted or appalled. No, man, this is what we want.
So number one,
yeah,
I am 100% on board. The Queen of Houston, Hannah McNair, does all the talking.
Well, she doesn't do all the talking, but she's the best at it.
Just let her do all the talking.
She's the best at it.
You know, love you, Cal.
Yeah.
Let the Queen do all the talking.
Yes.
I'm also with you on the idea with the owner.
Yeah.
Being, like, honest and expressing, like, the
not
same
even all the way
sentiment.
Honest, a little, just transparent enough that we get the gist of it.
Having the same sentiment as a fan would, right? Relating to your fans. You know what? Last year, I know you guys were frustrated last year.
Yeah.
I hated it too. We want to do everything we can not to have that happen again.
Yeah.
Like, I would much rather my owner do what Shad Khan did and say, look, we screwed the pooch and we're doing what we can so that doesn't happen. Yeah. As opposed to doing what Jerry Jones does, which is everything's great, everything's wonderful.
Exactly.
You know what? I might fire the coach. Everything's great, everything. Hey, you know, look, we hired a guy from the UFL. We're all in.
Yeah.
Everything is great. Like, I feel like sometimes Jerry is so disingenuous in the things that he says, even though we know he loves the Cowboys.
Yeah.
We know he wants to win, but the way he presents himself sometimes seems like he's, like, deliberately out of touch.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Because I like you said, you want your owners, your GMs, your players, your coaches, you want them to kind of let the wall
down.
Tell
us something, man.
And give us, you know, what they really feel. And then, you know, because what do you want to get? You want to get all those Derek Jeter, you know, coach speak.
Yeah.
I'm really going to say absolutely nothing here. There's not a whole lot of fun in that.
This is what's one of the reasons I always hate the term "it is what it is," because it says nothing. It is what it is means nothing. It's not, and you know how I feel about that, Figgy. Like it's the biggest cop out in all of sports.
It's next question.
Yeah, it's exactly right. So and here's the other point. We call it localize it. So I'm going to localize it even more. You know why when did the Texans become a team that was just completely transformed? When Hannah McNair became a little more out front and a little more vocal, and by default, by extension, so did Cal. Because you can say the best thing that ever happened to this team is C.J. Stroud. Well, yeah, we can say that now. How did C.J. Stroud get here? Hannah and Cal decided to go after D'Amico Ryans. That wasn't Nick Caserio. Nick Caserio had another list, and he certainly is on board with D'Amico Ryans, but it was Cal and Hannah. Why is Hannah and Cal, especially Hannah, probably the most beloved owner in town right now? Because she's transparent. She says what she thinks. She's not afraid. And Cal kind of is on board with that. Like, when you have people like that, a lot of owners, a lot of general managers don't understand, you're going to be more well-liked. You're going to be well-liked. You're not going to be less liked.
Yeah.
You know? I think Cal is a smart guy.
Yeah.
But I just don't think he's comfortable with the whole public speaking and being in front of the crowd and the camera. And Hannah's ability to be comfortable and succeed in that has given him more confidence.
Yeah, I think, and I agree with that. And there's nothing wrong with it, but I think the way they did it the last couple years, I think they, they really got on the people's side, because remember, it was nothing but fire, I mean, or sell a team, Cal, and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people, you know, can relate to Cal, you know, cooking burgers and hanging out with fans and stuff like that. I don't see a lot of owners doing that. A lot of these owners are billionaires and they don't care what the people, how they feel, and they probably don't want to relate to them.
It's refreshing.
But
it's absolutely
for the simple fact that they out there taking pictures with fans and they are being of the people. Mm-hmm. And that helped out a lot, man, because I ain't see a Celatine Cal in a long time since.
Yeah.
What they have done is almost the blueprint for how to win back a fan base that is 100% angry with ownership and the direction of the team. Right. The number one thing that and not that this was they were listening to the fans here. In this case, I think they were just listening to other people in the organization. Mm-hmm. They got rid of Jack Easterby. They took the gloves off of Nick Caseria. They targeted exactly who they wanted to be their head coach. And look, you go back to, you know, they had the audio from a game the year before where J.J. Watt's telling DeMeco Ryans, go back to Houston and get that thing fixed.
Yeah.
This is, you know, during the previous season, DeMeco's not even a coaching candidate yet.
Yeah.
So there is that web kind of around these teams with all the best players and the ownership and how to relate back to the fans.
Yeah.
And how to win the fans back. And they've kind of done all of those things, which is amazing.
It's truly like... I'm also confused why more owners, more people in power don't realize, you know, if you're just a little more honest and a little more transparent, people are going to like you and appreciate you more.
I think it's egos.
Yeah.
They billionaires. Yeah. They don't have to relate to the people. They just egos, man. They got to let that ego go.
It's like
go.
They default to, let's. How do we cover this up? How do we not tell them anything?
They're so far detached from regular people.
Yeah.
They don't know how. To relate to regular people. You know, when you grow up son of a billionaire, it's probably really difficult to know. Well, I don't know anybody like that. And I mean, not that I ever think, I don't think Hannah McNair ever grew up poor. She didn't grow up a billionaire. And
she was a normal person at one point.
She knows how to relate to people. Yeah. And she's helped bring Cal out of the shell.
She was working in an office. I mean, she was, just a regular person. And maybe that's part of the reason that she can kind of like be more honest and forthcoming about stuff.
The story that she tells of how Cal courted her, I think is great and hilarious at the same time.
Yeah.
Because it seems...
Calling the office and all
it
that.
It seems it's so out of like a rom-com, like a cheesy rom-com.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like there's a lot of things that are just kind of heartwarming about the whole way the whole thing goes down, right? So, yeah, it really has become... you've gone from being the most despised owner, maybe... in the history of this city that didn't take a team and move it and become maybe the most beloved owner.
Even though they
haven't won yet, he's still already the most beloved
owner. Oh, yeah, he is, absolutely.
Man, that wound up being one topic to rule it
we,
all for.
We localized it.
We're localizing it, but man, it really was. I think that was a... I think that's a great way of looking at the transformation.
The lesson here, kids, is you know what? Sometimes you should just tell the truth. Be honest.
Be honest. Forthcoming. Yeah.
You mean don't lie your pants off?
Yes, exactly.
Don't hide.
Man, coming up next, I'm not sure which one of these bad NFL vision takes when it comes to the Texans makes me laugh harder, and they involve the Bills and the Jets next.
This is what's one of the reasons I always hate the term "it is what it is," because it says nothing. It is what it is means nothing. It's not, and you know how I feel about that, Figgy. Like it's the biggest cop out in all of sports.
It's next question.
Yeah, it's exactly right. So and here's the other point. We call it localize it. So I'm going to localize it even more. You know, when did the Texans become a team that was just completely transformed? When Hannah McNair became a little more out front and a little more vocal. And by default, by extension, so did Cal. Because you can say the best thing that ever happened to this team is C.J. Stroud. Well, yeah, we can say that now. How did C.J. Stroud get here? Hannah and Cal decided to go after DeMeco Ryans. That wasn't Nick Caseria. Nick Caseria had another list. And he certainly is on board with DeMeco Ryans. But it was Cal and Hannah. Why is Hannah and Cal, especially Hannah, probably the most beloved owner in town right now? Because she's transparent. She says what she thinks. She's not afraid. And Cal kind of is on board with that. Like, when you have people like that, a lot of owners, a lot of general managers don't understand, you're going to be more well-liked. You're going to be well-liked. You're not going to be less liked.
Yeah.
I think Cal is a smart guy.
Yeah.
But I just don't think he's comfortable with the whole public speaking and being in front of the crowd and the camera. And Hannah's ability to be comfortable and succeed in that has given him more confidence.
Yeah, I think, and I agree with that. And there's nothing wrong with it, but I think the way they did it the last couple years, I think they really got on the people's side, because remember, it was nothing but sell a team, Cal, and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people, you know, can relate to Cal, you know, cooking burgers and hanging out with fans and stuff like that. I don't see a lot of owners doing that. A lot of these owners are billionaires and they don't care what the people, how they feel, and they probably don't want to relate to them.
It's refreshing.
But
it's absolutely
for the
refreshing.
Simple fact that they out there taking pictures with fans and they are being of the people. Mm-hmm. And that helped out a lot, man, because I ain't see a Celestine Cal in a long time since.
Yeah.
What they have done is almost the blueprint for how to win back a fan base that is 100% angry with ownership and the direction of the team. Right. The number one thing that and not that this was they were listening to the fans here. In this case, I think they were just listening to other people in the organization. Mm-hmm. They got rid of Jack Easterby. They took the gloves off of Nick Caseria. They targeted exactly who they wanted to be their head coach. And look, you go back to, you know, they had the audio from a game the year before where J.J. Watt's telling D'Amico Ryans, go back to Houston and get that thing fixed.
Yeah.
This is, you know, during the previous season, D'Amico's not even a coaching candidate yet.
Yeah.
So there is that web kind of around these teams with all the best players and the ownership and how to relate back to the fans.
Yeah.
And how to win the fans back. And they've kind of done all of those things, which is amazing.
It's truly like... I'm also confused why more owners, more people in power don't realize, you know, if you're just a little more honest and a little more transparent, people are going to like you and appreciate you more.
I think it's egos.
Yeah.
They billionaires. Yeah. They don't have to relate to the people. They just egos, man. They got to let that ego go.
It's like
go.
They default to, how do we cover this up? How do we not tell them anything?
They're so far detached from regular people.
Yeah.
They don't know how. To relate to regular people. You know, when you grow up son of a billionaire, it's probably really difficult to know. Well, I don't know anybody like that. And I mean, not that I ever think, I don't think Hannah McNair ever grew up poor. She didn't grow up a billionaire. And
she was a normal person at one point.
She knows how to relate to people. Yeah. And she's helped bring Cal out of the shell.
She was working in an office. I mean, she was, just a regular person. And maybe that's part of the reason that she can kind of like be more honest and forthcoming about stuff.
The story that she tells of how Cal courted her, I think is great and hilarious at the same time.
Yeah.
Because it seems...
Calling the office and all
it
that.
It seems it's so out of like a rom-com, like a cheesy rom-com.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like... There's a lot of things that are just kind of heartwarming about the whole way the whole thing goes down, right? So, yeah, it really has become, you've gone from being the most despised owner, maybe in the history of this city that didn't take a team and move it, and become maybe the most beloved owner.
Oh,
even
he is.
Though they haven't, no, he is. They haven't won yet, he's still already the most beloved owner.
Oh, yeah, he is, absolutely.
Man, that's... That wound up being one topic to rule it over.
We localized it.
We're localizing it, but man, it really was. I think that's a great way of looking at the transformation.
The lesson here, kids, is you know what? Sometimes you should just tell the truth. Be honest.
Be honest. Coming. Yeah.
You mean don't lie your pants off?
Yes, exactly.
Don't hide.
Man, coming up next, I'm not sure which one of these bad NFL vision takes when it comes to the Texans makes me laugh harder, and they involve the Bills and the Jets. Next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man.
Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!